First of all, in that article in Food and Justice, it mentions about when you first got involved, when you went to that, when you and Roy went to that meeting with Caesar.
In
a house
Huntington
meeting.
Beach?
Yes.
Well, it was in a little church in Huntington Beach.
And I wanted to know what happened at that meeting that hooked you in the way it did.
Well, we had seen the announcement in the newspaper, just a small announcement, and we decided to go. And I think it was probably a little Methodist church. I can't even remember which church in Huntington Beach, but it was very early in the 60s. And there were only about 10 of us there, and we sat in a circle with Caesar. And he talked to us about where things were at, a little bit of his background. When people asked, it was just very informal. And we'd been concerned earlier in various ways with migrant workers, and his presence and his gentle manner, and yet what he was involved in and what he was trying to do was really, you know, pretty moving. We hadn't been all that many years in Orange County at the time, and to know that there were some efforts being made in this direction here moved us a bit.
Where had you come from?
Berkeley. We had gone to school in Berkeley, lived there 12 years, came when Roy finished law school to Orange County, and you can imagine the culture shock after living close to the university.
So what had been your interests and involvements with migrant workers before that, before you heard him, Caesar speak?
Between Roy's junior and senior year at Berkeley, he had a summer internship in a program in Arizona near Coolidge, Arizona, on a 5,000-acre farm that was run by the Farm Security Administration. There were 50 families that had been dusted out in Missouri, Oklahoma, Arkansas, those areas. And he was hired for the summer as their recreational and educational director. So we spent summer on that farm and then came back for his senior year. We were involved in the early food, tobacco, and agricultural workers union in their efforts in the Bay Area when they were organizing in the canneries, and the Teamsters were also organizing. And after months of preparation and the elections, the Teamsters won out. I was a public health nurse in the Bay Area. I worked in the schools, but also my last job was in the health department in Richmond. And my district was completely in the county area, not the city of Richmond. And many of my families in that area were Spanish-speaking people, and quite a few of them were migratory workers. So we had that earlier experience and interest before we came down to Orange County.
The there were lots of people who got interested in the mid-60s in what was happening, a lot of them because of Caesar and what he was like. But it was different for you than for a lot of other people. And I want to know what it was that has made this movement so important to both you and Roy.
Well, for me, I have felt that living in an area like Orange County has been difficult to express your concerns in terms of a social conscience. It's so conservative, And it seemed to me that it was important to find something that you could believe in and the people involved that you could have faith in, that you felt really your efforts were needed and you could accomplish something. So I've not been one to spread myself in, you know, a lot of things. I have chosen the farm workers because first I think the needs are just so tremendous. They're just, you know, obvious. And I feel in an area like Orange County, through an interfaith group, it's more possible to effect change and to influence people and to maybe make possible more understanding on the part of people than if I were in, say, six other, efforts. For instance, on our mailing list, we have about 600 people, and 50 of those I consider activists that I can call on to do many things. Another 100 probably you could call on to do telephone calls or send a telegram or to contribute financially. The others on the list are supportive and might, many of them support something like a boycott, but would never, you know, become more active than that. But it's important to reach all of those, you know, 600, because some will give more and some will maybe just gain a little understanding.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not easy in Orange County to affect any kind of change.
Mm-hmm. While you've been here in Orange County, did you work as a nurse during any of the time that you were here?
No, I have not. All of my public health nursing was in the Bay Area before we came.
Do you ever miss that?
I did love my work, particularly in the district. When I had a district under the health department, I enjoyed that much more than my work in the schools. So I did miss very much my work in the field, and I loved it. But and I also had thought that when my children were older, like high school or through, that I would go back to public health nursing, either, you know, actively working or maybe as a volunteer here in Orange County. But in the meantime, I became interested and involved in the farm worker movement, and I think I've enjoyed that almost more.
Has your involvement with the movement had for you a religious dimension?
I think it has, and yet it's difficult to put into words. I find a lot of rapport and response in the religious community. On the other hand, as I've become more involved with the farm worker ministry and our interfaith committee, I've had less time to be involved in my own church. Although I have remained active at the Interfaith Center at UC Irvine. I've been there since it first started with your father-in-law, Cecil Hoffman. Mm-hmm. And I'm still active there, even more so than I am in our church.
So this is really, this work has really, at least partially, supplanted activity with a congregation per se.
That's true, and I think probably part of the reason is that in our early years in Orange County, we were members of the Congregational Church in Santa Ana, and very active, and most of our longtime friends are still friends that we made in those 15 years in that church. And it was a church with a lot of social conscience, And so that most of our friends there were involved in doing, you know, various things. And most of those are supportive of our work here with the Interfaith Committee. Then when we moved to Corona del Mar, we remained in the church in Santa Ana. And then after 4 or 5 years, we felt, well, we really should belong to the church in our own community. But this church reflects the community that we live in now, which is WASP, wealthy, not very concerned with their social conscience. And so it was difficult to become as integrated in this church as we had been in Santa Ana. And so that was part of it too, as well as becoming more involved with the farm worker movement. And as I say, I've remained active at the Interfaith Center in UC Irvine.
What year did you move to Santa Ana?
1952 from Berkeley. And in, 1962, we moved here to Corona del Mar. We've loved being here with, you know, enough yard to garden and all that sort of thing, and being close to the ocean. But we raised a son in Santa Ana, and our daughter was 9 years old when we moved here. It was much more difficult for a youngster to grow up here, we discovered after we moved here.
That's interesting. Well, would you tell me a little bit about how the Interfaith Committee is organized?
Yes. The Interfaith Committee was first organized back in late 1976, and it was when we still had an organizer from United Farm Workers in Orange County. It was Karen Flock. Mm-hmm. And she was here as organizer two different times. She left to do her senior year at Reed College in Portland and then returned for a time. And before she left, she organized the Orange County Interfaith Committee and had it all set up, and then turned all the files and records over for me to be the caller of meetings. Before that, we had a support group. The mailing was under the Orange County Support Group for Farm Workers. And for quite a time, I'm thinking for maybe 2 or 3 or 4 years, our groups met separately. The Interfaith Committee met mornings, and then our Orange County Support Group for Farm Workers, which, you know, brought people from Interfaith, met at evening supper meetings. And after trying to continue the morning meetings with Interfaith, with some of our people working and our clergy finding it difficult to make time, we didn't officially merge, but we did merge. And so now we call ourselves officially the Interfaith Committee to Aid Farm Workers. But we also include all this community group that, you know, was there before Interfaith was formed. And so we meet on call. We used to meet monthly, and then as needs, you know, depending upon where our support is needing and what is happening, we meet now on call, and we always send out our mailings, hopefully 2 or 3 weeks beforehand. But we have we can depend on certain times for our meetings. We always have a farm worker week meeting and worship service. We almost always have a summer meeting and fundraiser. We have a meeting in the fall, usually before Thanksgiving, or we have one before Christmas in which we also try to raise funds. And then, you know, in the winter. And if we need to meet more, we do. Our activities like picketing do separate mailings. And our activist list, I call for specific things or to keep them informed on issues that are really pertinent. We send out that mailing. And then for the regular meetings, the whole 600 comes out.
So when you want to get an action going, you send to a smaller list of like those 50 or 100 that you
Yes, mentioned. And then we have phone people that also contact on even shorter notice if we don't have time for a mailing.
Do you have a phone tree, or is it more informal than that?
Well, I have a list of about six people who in turn have their list of people to call. It's not real formal. Sometimes it moves around a little bit, but there are those people that have the lists in hand that I call to if it means telegrams and that kind of thing.
When would Karen have left?
She left in about November of 76. Mm-hmm. Was after the Yes on 14 campaign. And the Yes on 14 campaign was a real landmark in our support group in Orange County. We had 33 staff people here from United Farm Workers and from the ministry, and John Proctor was in charge. They used to come when they would have a day off probably the first month of the campaign. They would come and do their wash and relax and go to the beach and that kind of thing. So we kind of center here for the staffers. Then the last month or two, they just, you know, were working around the clock. And I remember particularly the very last night before everyone left, John insisted that they all had to do their 3x5 cards with comments on each person. And some of these young staffers, I think, were up till 2 and 3 in the morning getting their written work done. But they turned over a tremendous file of people from all over the county, clergy, community people, supporters, telephone contacts. And this was the beginning of our, you know, real file of supporters. And when Karen left, she left that file with me. Mm-hmm. Each time an organizer would leave, they'd leave the file, and I called meetings in between times. And Karen came back a second time. We had Julia London. Then we had George Sheridan. He was the last United Farm Worker organizer. But in the meantime, after George left, occasionally the ministry would send people like Esmeralda Perez and Scott Templeton for maybe a two-month period, and they would visit and do a lot of work with house meetings and, you know, bring in new contacts and renew old for the kinds of things that some of our own supporters and myself, there's not always the time to keep that kind of contact on. Mm-hmm.
How do you think other people have seen you over these years since Karen left in 76? How do you think people see you in relationship to the group?
Well, as the person that puts out the mailing and calls the meeting and is the contact between the union and our supporters and the contact between the ministry, National Farm Worker Ministry, and our supporters. And we have some other very active people that, you know, are part of our sort of core group that do a lot of work too.
Some of the people that were originally organized by Ralph and Nat Kennedy, are they, some of them, still involved?
They are. There's a core group in Fullerton. A lot of them in the little Fullerton Congregational Church, where Bruce Johnson is minister and his wife Barbara, and they're among the real early ones with Ralph and Natalie Kennedy. In this, the Kennedys are not in that church, they're Presbyterians, but in that church is a group of about maybe six families that have continued to be very supportive. They're in our 50 activist group. Ralph Kennedy and some other people in the Fullerton area, although they're not in that church, they have a group called Shalom that meets once a month, and I guess it's been meeting forever. And all of the Shalom people are very active supporters for us. But a lot of these, and then there's Bernice Ranford in Garden Grove, who is very active as a devout Catholic, and she was one of the very early ones. So these people are still with us, part of that core group. And Baldwin Keenan, who was the first organizer, is very active. He pickets with us. He comes to meetings when he can. He's now business rep for the painters local in San Diego. Mm-hmm.
So he had worked with the union, and then he continued living in Orange County. And
I'm not sure that he continued living here, but he returned and is married. His wife is a medical doctor, just finished medical school and internship, and they have a little boy about 4 years old. Yeah. His wife is also very supportive.
Now, during the years after 76, when the boycott was no longer operating the same way it had before, with a lot of organizers and so on, a lot of support people didn't feel like there was really much for them to do. And I'm curious what you all have found to do that has kept people interested and involved.
Well, I will have to say about that period of time, some of our young people particularly, because we weren't as busy as before, left and went into like the Alliance for Survival and anti-nuclear projects in particular, and a few of our older people. But they continued to be supportive of us and continued to come. You may know Tim Carpenter, that maybe not. He's been particularly active in Orange County with the Alliance for Survival, and just a young man with so much charisma and so much ability. And he has continued. He just doesn't miss a meeting of ours, you know, and he brings Alliance for Survival people. And our others that went in, like Marty Schrank, who is the person that I really lean on so much for her help and all of her time. She also became involved in other things, so that Marty is doing a lot of other things as well as farm workers, but farm workers is really her prime concern. So we didn't lose these people, although we lost some of their time, you know, when we need them. They're not just, you know, involved with us now. They've started other things.
So what have you found to focus the meetings on over this length of time?
We've had, well, for one thing, there was the boycott of nursery land that went on for a long time. Then the picketing and boycott of GEMCO seemed to go on for a long time. And of course, since 79, the Lucky boycott, and we picketed off and on through those 5 years. And then, of course, we've been concerned since January. We've been picketing every Saturday since January at two Alpha Beta markets. Mm-hmm. One of the markets in Santa Ana has been done by Nativo Lopez and his group called Hermandad Mexicana Nacional. It's a group that works particularly with undocumented workers. And they have been picketing the store for us since January, and we've done one in Irvine. So, you know, this has been ongoing. We've had some local situations in Orange County involving particularly a nursery up in Brea that took time when workers left for, I think it was an Easter service, and the Friday before Easter, and they were all locked out when they came back, and we had the help of the Human Relations Commission. We also had a young organizer here for a short time trying to organize in citrus as well as nurseries from United Farm Workers. And it's ironical that we have an ongoing support group, and yet there's not a single United Farm Worker contract here in Orange County. This is largely due to the Irvine ranch that will just not even allow anybody on their property or near it. We did have that one contract in that nursery that I mentioned previously, and the nursery closed and went elsewhere. Then Bobby Dela Cruz was able to organize the workers at the largest strawberry ranch in Orange County, and it was hopeful that there was going to be a contract there, and that was never consummated. So, you know, we have had local situations, and we've been involved with legislative things that have required letters and the ongoing situation of the union, and the rapport and fellowship are almost the we have from 35 to 50 or 60 people at meetings, and we're almost like kind of a large family because we've been together for so many years. We always have you know, a dinner meeting in our program, and staff has been really good about coming to meet with us. And Chris Hartmeyer, when he was in Los Angeles, our people know him almost better than anyone else, and they just, you know, really love him. And he was just marvelous about getting down for meetings and all our fundraisers. And other staff people, too, we've come to know David Martinez and Bobby Dela Cruz. The other thing that has kept us really ongoing are elections. And we've been called upon to not only supply people during elections, particularly in the Santa Ana area in Spanish-speaking districts in the barrios, but in supplying food for the farm workers that they bring in. About 4 years ago, they brought in each day farm workers from San Ysidro, and we would prepare the meals for them. The last election, our people were working up in Santa Fe Springs, which was out just over the county line, but we supplied all of their meals, breakfasts, bag lunches, and then dinners. But, you know, the farm workers came from so far. When they came from San Ysidro, they would get to Santa Ana about 6 in the morning, and they wouldn't leave before 6 at night, and they barely got home in time to have maybe 4 or 5 hours sleep, and then they were back in their buses, vans that time coming up. So, you know, they have done so much that, and that's been part of our work, to see that we have people that speak Spanish that can work in the precincts with them and then to prepare the meals. And it's been a wonderful experience because this is when we have time with farm workers. Without contracts here in Orange County, we find ourselves talking to ourselves. And so election time has been, you know, really a joy in that sense because it's our contact with our farm workers.
Well, that's really very remarkable, Jean. I'm impressed.
Well,
I mean, a lot of people with more imagination probably could have thought of things to do to keep people involved and keep people interested. But you have certainly shown a lot of initiative to make that happen.
But we, you know, we have this wonderful core of people that, you know, have done so much too. And in anything you write, I really want you, you know, to downplay Roy and myself, because without these people that have been so supportive through the years and have been there so long, and who come to meetings, you know, who enjoy each other so much and are so devoted and loyal to seeing the farm workers, you know, push for what they're entitled to. You know, you couldn't do it without them.
No, of course you couldn't. That's true.
It's easy enough to do the newsletter and the phoning and that kind of thing, but, you know, to have people that are that supportive, this is where it comes from.
Do Ralph and Nat come to the meetings?
Oh, yes, they're always at meetings. And they don't, they're not picketers now. And some of the older people aren't, but they do other things. You can call on them for anything, but, you know, they're all getting older, and they also have, you know, other activities besides farm workers. But they're always at our meetings. They're always supported financially and otherwise. Anything you ask of them. And if I pushed them, I could probably get them out picketing. But, you know, everyone has a certain amount to give at a certain time.
Yeah, that's true.
You can't push them too hard.
You're a member of a congregational church here in this area?
Yes, Community Congregational Church. It's part of the United Church of Christ. And I'm particularly pleased because our young minister more recently has become involved in sanctuary and has had two meetings. We were away, but he's going to have another in September, and he's hoping to move some of our people in that direction. Mm-hmm. Just delighted, mm-hmm. because not much of that kind of thing is very easy here.
Yes, yeah. Has the congregation been supportive of the work with farm workers that you've been involved in?
No, and I haven't pushed it that much. Reverend Coots came to one of our fundraisers. It was him.
I'm giving it kind of focus to the United Church of Christ in the book, because Chris had told me early on that of all the denominations, the United Church of Christ took more lumps for their involvement with the farm workers than any other denomination, in part because Jim Drake was in the Congregational Church, and mm-hmm. he was such a key figure early on in the ministry. Mm-hmm. And then that spectacular 1973, what do you call it, your General Synod back at St. Louis. I have all the minutes on that meeting. And I mean, it's a very exciting and fascinating story, just how that all came about and what happened. Mm-hmm. There's no other denomination that had that kind of experience. Mm-hmm. So that's been very interesting to me.
Now, the church that we belong to in Santa Ana was not part of the United Church of Christ. Mm-hmm. It was interesting because our minister was a very liberal person theologically and in terms of social issues. And in the congregation were so many involved people, mm-hmm. socially. And yet, they could never get enough of a vote to join the United Church of Christ. It was just an irony. Mm-hmm. And this one is United Church of Christ, but very conservative in terms of social issues. Mm-hmm. And I think it's true, depending upon the community, because I was asked to speak recently at the Laguna Congregational Church. And one of the person that asked me to speak was on the Social Concerns Committee and a friend of Sydney Smith. And she called me beforehand and she said, you know, she really had been quite upset. She hadn't been in the church that long, but she said, you know, there's just no concern for anything that has to do with social issues. And she said, I hope that you can make some impression, but she said, I just can't promise what's going to come out of it. And, you know, it was obvious the chairman of the committee was just really not wanting to have anything to do with the farm workers, but she was pushed, you know, to have me come. And I spoke, and then she wrote and said that they were having another meeting, but I had to realize they had so little funds and that kind of thing. So it's not, it's the community that you're in, and I think unless you have a pretty courageous kind of minister that can pull a portion of the congregation with him, you're going to find this kind of lack of interest and concern.
But you've been able to find, by operating in an interfaith way, a lot of people out of a lot of different religious communities that
yes,
have concern.
Yes, the Catholic sisters at the Orange Convent, Sisters of St. Joseph's, have just been marvelous supporters and very loving, loyal, you know, people to us. And there are some key sisters there, like Sister Carmen Cerati and Sister Frances Dunn, who was in her 70s, and one of the administrators in the hospital who has even picketed with us. Mm-hmm. Sister Carmen has, of course, too. Mm-hmm. We had more support among the priests until 1976, and I don't know whether you want this information, but Bishop Johnson, the diocese was formed in 76 before the November election. And we went to see Bishop Johnson, two Catholic sisters, Cecil Hoffman, Lynn Fitch from United Church of Christ, and myself, to talk to him. We were having 60 farm workers come from Coachella to work during the election, and we needed a place to house them, and we wanted to be sure that leaflets could be passed and that kind of thing. We also wanted his support for SON 14, and he very clearly indicated that not only would he not give his support, but there could be no leaflets passed on any of the church parking lots, there could be no farm workers housed in any of the churches, and he sent a letter to all the priests in the diocese after our meeting. So we had no support there. We went to the sisters, and they finally said that we could house the 60 farm workers in one of their buildings. There was a kitchen and there was a meeting room. And it happened at the time that the bishop was housed temporarily in one of the sisters' buildings on the campus of the convent. So they really were, they've been very courageous in their support of us.
The bishop was staying there, you said?
Yes, before they had, the diocese had its own buildings. Uh-huh. Temporarily, the bishop's headquarters were in an adjacent building on the campus where the convent of the Sisters of St. Joseph.
They were staying right there with the 60 farm workers that had been rejected.
In a nearby building, yes. And but as a result, our support from the priests has been very limited, with the exception of one, Father Wilbur Davis, and he's now in a central church in Santa Ana, St. Joseph's Church, and he has just been marvelous. Anything we ask of him, he sends from his own personal account contributions to us. And I think probably we will build a little more support, but we had a very bad start when the diocese began.
Yeah.
We have little core groups of people in various places. We had quite an active group for a time in a Lutheran church in the southern part of the county. We have a lot of Catholic supporters, but they're scattered in various churches. We have some people in Huntington Beach. They sort of come in little clusters.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And our largest number of supporters in terms of finances, not coming out to meetings, is in Laguna Beach. And we send twice as many mailings to people there as any other city in the county, and yet they're a small city.
Mm-hmm.
But they have given by far more money than any other area. Mm-hmm. And I think it's due to one family there. The McCoys are a Catholic family, and Barbara McCoy, she's a school teacher, and she, when we have needs, will spend hours at a time on the phone evenings with her contacts in Laguna, and her people really respond. She's just been marvelous. So we have our pockets of support.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything else in particular that you might want me to know about your observations about the impact of the farm workers on church people?
My basic feeling is that we haven't had enough time to develop more support in our churches. It takes time with the personal contact. I think there's more support there, and I feel particularly there will be more support coming from like the priests in the county, but it just takes a lot of time to do that.
Yeah.
We have built quite a bit of support for flock in the county, And one of the reasons is that Cruz Phillips spent a lot of time here, and it's been about 3 years ago when she was first out in the Los Angeles area. There was a young man from the University of Michigan that also, I forget his name, they spent a great deal of time, and she has continued to do that. And then they had a young man in the Los Angeles office, John, I forget his name, who also spent time and came down. They came regularly to our meetings. So I worried about being able to build support for Flock in addition to United Farm Workers and the National Farm Worker Ministry. I felt it was a little removed back there, and the contact by mail and that sort of thing wasn't all that close with our people. But through particularly Cruz Phillips, there is a lot of support, and she developed some active support for some of their activities, even up in the Los Angeles area. Mm-hmm. So, and there again, it's, you know, your personal contact with people. And we just, you know, need a few more hands and bodies that are a little younger, that can do more, you know, that kind of legwork and contact work. Yeah.
I really appreciate your taking time to let me talk with you and ask you questions. I know how busy you are this week.
Well, I just appreciate you being willing to come to the house, you know, and stay. Really grateful. You can say.